At IKEA, your dream home is a blue bag away. No matter the size of your space or budget, we've got everything you need to turn your dreams into reality. And now with new lower prices on hundreds of our most popular products, bringing the dream home is even easier. Like the gray Strandom wing chair, was $369, now $299. And the IKEA Plus 365 9-piece cookware set was $129.99, now $89.99. And hundreds more. Shop new lower prices at ikea-usa.com today.
It's the Anfield Wrap. It's a bit of a funny show this week. I'm Neil Atkinson. What we're going to do is we're going to talk about Watford, maybe get on to Villa slash Qatar, and then we're going to break and do the draw, or that might come earlier. We're not quite sure on the time into the draw, and the draws come slap bang in the middle of the time we normally record, so we've come a little bit earlier this week. Paul Senior, Gareth Roberts and Craig Cannon. As ever, we are in association with The Athletic. There was something fantastic on there by Simon Hughes about Jurgen Klopp and how he deals with people. It is the Anfield Wrap. Sorry, it is theathletic.co.uk/theAnfieldWrap to sign up, and please do so if you haven't done so already. There's loads of fantastic stuff on there, but that by Si was tremendous. But we are going to first and foremost talk about Liverpool beating Watford by 2-0. Paul Senior, Watford are bottom. They turned up to Anfield bottom. They've ended up staying bottom. I couldn't believe the number of chances in the game in general for both sides. The one thing I thought you might get would be Watford tightening up and sitting really deep and being a little bit conservative. I thought they were quite front foot. And they probably end up creating 4 good chances against Liverpool. Liverpool probably create 6 or 7 good chances against Watford watching it back.
I mean, yeah, well, I'm not surprised Liverpool create 6 or 7 good chances against Watford. It was more the fact that Watford create 7 good chances against Liverpool, really. Firstly, you started by saying Watford are bottom. I'd be gobsmacked if they finish bottom. The only way they'll finish bottom is if they continue to finish like they finished at Anfield. You know, they are a team that looks bereft of confidence, a team that's been through 2 managers already this season. One that, you know, I thought, I know they took a spanking in the FA Cup final, but I didn't think you'd see a drop off like this. You see this with teams sometimes that struggle to regain confidence, but all of a sudden they find the feet. This is new levels as you're coming up towards Christmas. That surely that can't just be an FA Cup final, because Watford are a decent side. It's not like they've lost a big player in the summer. If anything, they managed to keep hold of Doucouré. Deeney's still there, you know. De La Feu stayed there. They added the lad from
Saar.
Yeah, but they added the lad, the centre half, in the summer. I can't remember
Dawson
in the summer. I looked at them coming into the season and thought another contender for top 8. And then being bottom, you're just like, how's that happened to them? So yeah, they came to Anfield and they were better than what I expected, and I think maybe better than what Liverpool expected. I don't think they'll finish there. I think Nigel Pearson has had enough time now to have seen a couple of errors. He's been in the job about 10 days or something, hasn't he? So he's got players to play with. They're only six points or so off 18th, 17th. So I'm pretty sure they'll get out if they start putting the ball in the back of the net.
If they start putting the ball in the back of the net, Gareth, and that's the key thing. We get away with a couple. I think we know enough about this Liverpool side to believe they've got the resilience to have come through the other side anyway. But the thing that Watford didn't do was when they had chances, they did not take them.
Yeah, I mean, some of the misses were unbelievable.
And they were almost so comic in how bad they were.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Saar's one, you know, he couldn't do that again if he tried. I think Doucouré was the other one who missed an absolute sitter. And Liverpool got lucky a little bit there. I think on another day, you know, Watford get a draw, maybe even win it, but it is what it is. I think what we've got to take as positives from it is that Liverpool didn't play well, the conditions were shit, the wind was clearly affecting the game. At times it looked like neither side could play football, it looked like they forgot how to play football. And you know, it's a grim day. It's an early kick-off, there's a few injuries, there's a few changes to the side, there's rotation going on and everything else. If you can just emerge the other side of that with 3 points, which Liverpool did, that's the positive to take. They kept on going. They scored the goal. And Mo Salah proved yet again that he's absolutely world class. Thought both his goals are absolutely phenomenal. They're not chances, basically, for the majority of strikers probably in the world. But for him, they are. And it's great news for everyone that he's decided to score with his right foot. I take the positives from it in that Liverpool have won. Liverpool have extended the lead at the top of the Premier League. Leicester have slipped now, and I just got a taxi into work then, and it was the same fella as a few weeks ago, and he's a big red, and he's like, I got you a few weeks ago, didn't I? And I was like, yeah. And he goes, yeah, I think we've done it, you know. I think we've done it.
I've had a bit of that all weekend. Like people want not wanting to say it publicly. I know this is very public where we're saying it, but people just going, I just can't see us dropping that many points. Never.
All the people following, maintaining the pace. Yeah, yep. Because every week that we do this, we're basically saying to them, you've got to go perfect for the rest of the season now. And I know, look, I watched the Arsenal game, and Arsenal were absolutely shit, gang of shit arses, didn't put a tackle in, didn't look arsed. and you know, there'll be tougher tests than that for City. Leicester, well, Norwich obviously shook them. They've got to play each other while we're away, having our warm weather training.
Fallen so nicely, that, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's lovely. So, you know, I get that you can pick at the Watford performance. I get that you can highlight a few players and say, you know, he didn't play well, they got at us. I actually was quite impressed by them. I thought, you know, they've done all right there, bearing in mind where they are in the league, that they're on the third manager of the season. Thought he played with a lot of freedom. It's good that he didn't score goals, like, but, you know, Delafeu, Decore, you know, they're good players.
There's enough there to keep them up, isn't
there?
Yeah,
definitely. And if they play like that, they'll be all right. And I think, you know, the manager could sell it as a little bit as a free hit. You know, Liverpool, top of the league, unbelievable side. You can just go there, have a go, see how you get on. And, you know, I think Everton, that Pearson, I don't normally agree with them, to be fair, but Everton, he said after the match, was pretty much spot on in that, you know, we can take positives from it. He said Liverpool know they've been in a game there, and they did.
I think the weather's playing an enormous part in it, Craig. Yeah. The ball's moving around all over the place all the way through the match. I actually think Liverpool use it quite cleverly at times. It was interesting. You'd think that would suit a side that's got Troy Deeney up front rather than a side that's got Mo Salah up front. But actually, you know, being able to threaten with balls in behind, using the fact that Salah, Mane, Firmino, we will come on to talk about, have all got such good touch and anticipate situations really well, worked well for Liverpool. It was, you know, I think that Liverpool are quite clever in it, but it does have a massive impact on how the game's going to be played.
Yeah, definitely. And I think we're always, as fans, we're sort of wary of mentioning the weather, just because at times in the past the manager's mentioned it and then opposition fans have latched onto that and used it almost as something to beat him with, as an excuse almost. But like, I think the wind effect at Watford in that Sarr chance as well, the way the ball comes at him, like, and I think Jurgen Klopp touched on that in his press conference. He said, this is something that you do have to take into account, and I think you're right. I think Liverpool have, you know, we've seen over the past few weeks, Liverpool have become maybe the best long ball team in the world, but cleverly we were using Sadio Mane as an out ball almost because of the wind, and it certainly was affecting things. But I think look, we're in the middle of a difficult period, and I think that a game every 3 to 4 days at the moment, and yet our last results are what, 2-0, 3-0. Like, we're excelling during this period, and games like this are going to happen, games where we're not our dazzling best, but we're resilient and we're finding ways to win. And look, Watford, as mentioned before, Watford had chances, but Alisson made some crucial saves as well, and that should be celebrated. And I think throughout this whole run coming up to Qatar, the thing that we've wanted to get to is just to get win by win, get the 3 points on the board, and then fly off to Qatar. And in actual fact, the gap that's widened now is making us think. I think previous seasons, last season included, we have maybe got a little bit ahead of ourselves, and I think this year we're allowing the season to develop, and we're allowing the Reds to get the points on the board without getting too excited about it now. But that gap is massive, and with Leicester dropping points as well at the weekend, it's and the City and Leicester game coming up, you know, the game on Boxing Day is huge. Points. Yeah, one of them, they have to take points off each other, and then that game on Boxing Day becomes huge.
It's one where now, Paul, you're looking at it, and if I tell you trying to pick holes, it's not as though, as I say, it wasn't as though everyone was flying, as both you said, Gareth said, Craig said, everyone was flying against Watford. The one little thing I would note is we're going to rely in the second half of the season at times, no matter what happens from this point, at being able to rotate at fullback. And I'm beginning to ever so slightly worry about a player who I've always really enjoyed watching play left back in Milner. I think he's, you know, it's what's noticeable for me is that, for instance, the Wijnaldum injury happens around the hour mark, and Watford don't have another significant chance. If you look at all of those chances and where they come from a Watford point of view, you know, a lot of the play is down our right, but the end product ends up being on the left-hand side of the pitch, the left-hand side of the penalty area, as we play, not as Watford play. And you've got to be careful with that you don't correlate something that could just be a little bit of an accident or anything like that. But when I've seen Milner, as I say, it's not just this game, last three or four times he's helped us out at left-back. And I think the other side about this as well is that when he goes into midfield in the game, I think he plays really well. He plays the best pass of the match through to get that Salah through one-on-one. So you end up sort of thinking to yourself, are we going to end up relying on this lad who maybe now should just be playing midfield for us?
I'm not sure. It's tough because when the team's announced, I actually went, you know, is that Milner left back? Is he doing something mad around Shaqiri? Just because you're starting to see the drop off at left back. But you know, we were talking off air, and I think the point you made to me, Neil, is absolutely right. When you've got the best left back in the world playing there, the drop off is going to be so visible. And our full backs are unique in their sort of level of quality. They're our biggest threat, and when you take one of them away, you realise just how big a threat they are. And whether it's that extra yard of pace or whether it's just the fact their recovery is so good when the team spring on us or whatever it may be, the drop off will be big. And asking someone who we signed under Brendan Rodgers, who was a right winger for Manchester City at the time, who then came to Liverpool because he wanted to prove he was a central midfielder, who has acted as a square peg in a round hole for such a long period of time. I don't know what standard you can judge him by. The issue becomes is how do you attract someone to come to Liverpool as a left back?
The question is, and I'll go around everyone on it really, because this is my thing on this is I think all that's really fair, and I think it's worth saying we've given him a 2-year extension. I'm really pleased we have, because I think he's a terrific footballer and I think he adds a lot to Liverpool's midfield. The question is whether or not at some point the manager's going to have to think about, when he's looking to deputise, either finding another solution in the squad or, as you say, maybe going outside. But if he, what worries me isn't what he's doing in possession at all. It is just that idea that it's not half a lot to ask that left-hand side for Liverpool. You get left alone, you've got a lot of tracking back to do as well as running forward, and there's a point at which it just becomes arduous.
I do wonder though whether it's the one where he feels he can take a risk a bit more because Van Dijk is playing that side. So you know, Robertson's injury record is pretty much perfect since he's been at Liverpool as well. So I get everything you're saying. I just sympathise for whoever plays there who isn't Robertson, really. You know, filling a void for someone who is the best in the world is never nice, whether it's filling in for Sadio Mane, Mo Salah, Alisson. You know, you're always going to see a drop-off at this level. In defensive terms, I don't know. Is Joe Gomez a left-back answer? Who knows?
Is this all a bit first-world problems, Gareth? Or is it something to actually begin? As I say, I'm not up nights. I want to be clear. Yeah. I'm just, for the first time, a little bit like, ooh. You know when you say, oh, we could put anyone on the team sheet and I'd go sound. I may be approaching the point where if he's playing centre mid, not at all. But if I see a team sheet and I think Milner's going to be left-back on it, and I suspect Milner himself might be a bit like,
he doesn't want to play there, does he? He's made that, you know, clear a number of times. And I think even when we did something with him, you know, he mentioned then, like, you know, that he was learning a new position and learning a new role, and he said, you know, if I can get anywhere near the level of Robbo, then I'm doing something right. So, you know, there you go, by his own admission, he knows he can't get to that level. I think the manager's looked at it and thought, I've got to give him a rest somewhere. Everyone else is getting a rest somewhere. This is probably a good game to do it against bottom of the league at home. And okay, they ended up, you know, creating more chances than you'd want them to, and they should have scored, like we said before. I think in all the big games, though, you know, Robertson's playing, isn't he? So it's not really a problem. He's proven himself to be resilient. He's played through injuries already. He plays the majority of games, and that will continue to be the case. And it will just be a case of Milner jobs there now and again. Obviously, you know, there's the threat and the nightmare of, if he actually gets injured, what do we do then? But let's not think about that. I think basically, as Paul says, it's dead art. I think, you know, we obviously could do with someone else who could fill in at full back. preferably if, you know, Divdy could play both sides, even better. But he wants to come. He wants to come and know that they're not playing, basically, because the fullbacks have been so good. You know, everyone's talking about them. The league's talking about them. They created so many goals last season. Unprecedented standards of creativity from fullbacks in the league. And everyone knows that. All the agents know that. All the players know that. And that makes it really difficult for Liverpool to recruit in that area, I'd say.
My thing is, if you look at something like Tottenham, you've got Rose and Ben Davis as left-back cover. Well, left-back and left-back cover. The margin between them two is, you know, well, you might get an uplift of like 10% or something difference in between the two footballers. So it's a good environment for them. It's competitive, you know. If one's form drops off, then the other can, you know, take their place. And it was the same maybe last season when Trippier and Aurier were there. If one drops off, so that's healthy competition at fullback. I just don't think in our environment that will exist. It's like being a left-sided centre-half of ages there, isn't he? You know, so every time we look for it, who do you get in as a centre-half? Everyone brings your candidates and like, well, he's left-sided, so he's left-sided.
Almost, you'd almost rather have Robertson on the drop-off to Milner than have Rose and Davis.
I'm just not sure it's fair on, because obviously we haven't got a senior left-back at the club. How do you recruit one that's going to look at Andy Robertson and go, I'm never going to play, mate? You know, Adrian, who's a free transfer, training with some Spanish fourth division side or something, will probably happily come in behind Alisson. He's only got sort of one thing to get past. But I think with Milner, is you've sort of got to take the rough with the smooth a little bit there, because firstly you get the attributes of everything positive you get with James Milner in terms of a leader on the field, good on the ball, good from set pieces, whatever. But if you have Moreno still coming in there the other day, I think it'd feel worse.
Yeah.
People were talking about, oh, what's Lerucci up to? I was like, I think if you can see a drop off, then you'll see a drop off if you start bringing a kid in for him.
Absolutely agree.
So yeah, that's
I think as well, like, it's similar to when we asked Gomez to play right back, and I know that didn't happen in this game, but I've often felt sorry for him, because you're asking someone who isn't really a right back to play in the place that someone who's reinventing how to be a right back, and same with Robertson on the left, in the way that they play, you're asking them to do a similar job when stylistically they're not similar players. And to be honest, it's like the way our fullbacks play now, it's probably like the way a right midfielder played 15 years ago. Now, can you imagine 15 years ago saying to Rio Ferdinand, can you do right mid for us this week, Rio? And I think it's similar in the Gomez thing. And I felt a little bit sorry for Milner, because he then moves into midfield, and I thought he was really good in the second half.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're absolutely right. Them positions have been sort of reinvented, haven't they? I mean, if the assist chart is that, we'll tell you that, you know, when we're right backs getting 13, 14 assists in here, they chip in with a couple. You know, you might get, I don't know, Ruud van Nistelrooy getting on the end of a Gary Neville cross or something like that back in the day. But we have completely reinvented that.
And the next point about that is, you also, I would rather have, ahead of almost all fullbacks, James Milner in their final third if we're on top.
Absolutely. And that's, so we have a group which we send pictures to from the match, and I was just saying, when the team comes out, I was saying in the group, I wonder if it's Shaqiri left back, because we have reinvented it. I thought it was more like a stylistic fit nowadays, the way we're playing at the moment, to play Shaqiri there than it would have been to Milner. So Milner's been playing well in midfield recently. So I wondered, and I think it was just a mad thought from me, but I did think, I wonder against Watford whether he's just fancied Shaqiri left back, because we'll have loads of the ball, we'll be pressing them high, so if the ball drops, Shaqiri with some good crosses in from deep or something like that. But obviously the game doesn't pan out that way. Milner has quite a bit to do, but it was the thing with, I was surprised when we let the lad go to Sporting Lisbon, Camacho, because as much as obviously he's got a career to think about and whatnot, stylistically he was more of a fit for Liverpool than what Klein is. Oh, I know he's out for the season, but as backup right back cover, he's a former tricky winger, isn't he? So is that's closer to Trent than anything we had.
I think it comes down to trust as well. And I think, you know, the one thing that shone through from Milner's interview with us, I think it was the one that Gareth did with him, was that he said that he'd be in with the stats, for the analytics fillers on a Monday after every single game, going through and sort of trying to work out how he either betters his game or what he can do differently, what Robertson does in that position that he'd be able to do. And I think, you know, you're mentioning Shaqiri and doing something mad. I just think, like, the amount of times I watched Klopp tell Shaqiri off at the weekend, and it wasn't even just because of, I thought Shaqiri was poor, but I think it was just where he was meant to be and the track and back and so on. So I think it comes down to trust in that aspect.
More on the game against Watford to come. Also, we're going to have reaction to the draw, which we're going to run away and listen to right now and watch. Also, we're going to talk about Villa, and we're going to talk about the first game in Qatar. Loads to get through on the Anfield Wrap. Draw done then. One of our first breaks throughout all of this. The draw has been done. Liverpool have got Atletico Madrid. Kev, how are you feeling?
I'd rather it was, we discussed it the other week, somewhere that wasn't Spain, just on account of Spanish business being an absolute pain in the ass.
Absolutely.
But to be fair, who are you fearing? Nobody. You'd like to go to Atalanta for maybe, if you'd have predicted them to be the weakest in the pot that we could have got. But Atletico Madrid, I think they'll be thinking a lot more, oh my God, we've got Liverpool, than we should be thinking, oh my God, we've got Atletico.
It's not really, Paul, my slight bit of misery about the Enterprise isn't really that much about the football. And I think it'll be a dour game. They'll make it hard for us. They're a good side. They scrap. I'm not saying it'll be easy, but we will be favourites to go through, and I'm quite relaxed about that. It's more about more Madrid, bit more Spain. I'd rather have, you know, Atalanta, I think it was the one that everyone had their eye on. Atalanta and Lyon were the ones that everyone had their eye on as being a bit more fun.
Yeah, definitely. This both football and probably even off the pitch won't be fun. I mean, we were there in the summer. We've got good memories there, obviously, but this one won't be that. It's not going to be 40,000 Reds in the stadium. It's going to be 3,000 Reds in the stadium. It's going to be no barrel of laughs. You know, the two teams in Europe I've wanted to avoid are one Napoli, and this is the other, Atletico Madrid. They're not the style of team I think Liverpool will enjoy playing against. That being said, they're not the best version of Atletico Madrid.
But they have only conceded this season in the league 10. So there's 17 games in, they've only conceded 10
in the league. Probably means they've scored 11, though.
They've scored 18. Well, that's it. So basically, the games, they've played 17 games of football, and it's averaged about 1.5 goals a game in the league.
Yeah. I couldn't watch them every week, and when people pine for Simeone as the manager of other clubs, I'm like, nah, not for me. No, thank you. It's not a nice style of football he plays. They've obviously lost Griezmann from last season as well, so they're not a threat. They did sign Joao Felix, but I don't think he's at the level quite yet where Antoine Griezmann was. We've got a game ahead of us, definitely. I would have quite liked more of a not a bye, but you know, one that Liverpool could have took in the stride.
It's one of them, really. No, isn't it? Because we're on our own second leg, aren't we? So if you think about it, they've got the difficult decision now of when they play at home, what do? Do we sit in and try and get for a 0-0 and then try and counter attack away from home? Because good luck. But if they do that and then they get a 0-0, come to Anfield, open to nick a 1-0, mate, good luck.
Just realised what's going on in the room there.
Yeah, just in case you are watching on YouTube and you've just had your sight blocked a little bit, while she was filming it for a thing, but he was standing in front of the cameras that are filming it anyway.
I thought that was wild when he was in. I was like, what are you doing there?
Anyway, so sorry about that if you're on the YouTube.
You got to see the back of Sean Walsh's lovely hair. It's lovely.
There's nothing wrong with that. What a mane it is. No, it's a funny one, isn't it, Lizzie? You'd rather maybe have had a little bit more of an adventure, but let's go on a team we played for a while, so we've got to look at it that way as well.
Yeah, I do think it's one of the toughest draws, probably out of the ones we could have got, maybe the toughest. They're a good team. I'm a little bit like Hughes. I wasn't really looking forward to going back to Spain for all of the other reasons as well. But listen, I think we can beat anyone, and I'm not just saying that. I just think it will be the hardest of the lot. And I think with the amount of games we've got coming up, especially with the likes of the FA Cup draw, if we get through in the League Cup, that's going to be against a decent opponent. All of a sudden, the games are adding up, and you want the easiest opponent, if you want to call it that. And I feel disrespectful saying that to the likes of, say, Atalanta or Lyon, but that is the way. But you know what? We'll be fine. We'll be absolutely fine with Atletico.
Worth saying, in the group stages, they lost at Leverkusen. I think it's really interesting, you know, that ultimately I think they were the better side on the night, looking at the numbers, but they lost at Leverkusen when it was a game they could have done with winning. It was the fourth game in the group, so it wasn't like it was a dead rubber or anything like that. They went to Leverkusen, they got beat 2-1.
Yeah, and listen, I'm showing my concerns about Atletico Madrid. I absolutely think we can wipe the floor with them. Yeah. You know, this is the European champions, top of the Premier League, best team in the world. Hopefully, by the end of this week, I've got no doubt in my mind that we can beat Atletico Madrid. We're not talking about the champions of Spain. You know, I think people would have felt a bit easier if you'd have got the champions of Spain in a weird way. You know, Real Madrid, I think we'd wipe the floor with Real Madrid. We beat Barcelona last season. It's not that I fear them. Just stylistically, I don't think they're perfect for us. And I know we obviously like to talk about the away. It's the capital of Spain. Madrid's a lovely city. That's great food, some great bars. We will have a nice time. It's just, it wouldn't have been the one we'd have picked. I wouldn't have picked them. I think, you know, we are... It's maybe a tie we could have done without in terms of how difficult it is. But if you ask me now, who do I think goes through? Liverpool Football Club.
It's the next part of this as well, Kev, is working out the dates, which we haven't got yet. So we're talking here, the dates might be in by the end of the day, but they're not in right now. But Liverpool will, you know, Liverpool will have their preferred date. I'm not quite sure how this gets decided. I'd quite like a little expose on it, maybe something, maybe a long read in the Atlantic. The Athletic, maybe. Could be perfect for this sort of thing in order to go through it. To understand exactly how this gets boxed now, is it a negotiation or does UEFA just say this is the way it is? It's always been a little bit vague, but we would, you know, it would suit us, I think, to get that our way, because these will be two intense games. I think that's the thing to point out. The thing that this guarantees you, I think, and with having them away first leg, is these are going to be two intense games of football, even if you expect us to get through.
Yeah, well, I think theoretically you're right, but there's a possibility we go over there, and if they try and play for a 0-0, which I'm not saying that's what they're doing with, but when you look at the numbers there, what, they conceded 10 goals but only scored 18. If Liverpool are coming to town, you're not going to expect them all of a sudden to be piling forward, I wouldn't imagine. So, but the thing is, if you've got to try and sit and take the pressure on us for 90 minutes, not many teams manage to do it. We're averaging 2 or 3 goals a game at least, and yet we may concede one. But if they go out for a 0-0, that's what they set their game plan to, and we just go over there and wreck it by getting a 2-0. Or even a 1-0 maybe, their whole game plan at Anfield then changes. And I think it will be intense. It's the Champions League knockout stages. They're all difficult games. Well, actually the last couple of years with Porto, and they've been rather delightful to us, haven't they? But Atletico I've very much got one way of winning this tie, whereas I can see 3 or 4 different ways Liverpool managed to get through. We could lose 1-0 over there and tonk them at Anfield. Equally, we could absolutely batter them over there and it's their rubber at Anfield. It all just depends on how well we play at their place, and we could theoretically take the second leg out of their hands.
Lizzie, next part of this is to look at the draw for everybody else, especially our rivals, and the main one being Manchester City in terms of who can be involved in this, and they go to Real Madrid. That couldn't have gone that much better for us.
No, it's a Bosch draw, that. when it was drawn, we were all rather pleased in the office. That's, you know what, with the, I want to say the form that Manchester City in, I hope people know what I mean, is that they're not as invincible as they were last season, and that's going to be tough for them to come up against a side like Real Madrid. It will be, and even though I actually fancied Real Madrid, but that's because Liverpool are in probably the best form I've seen in my whole life. This game for City, they will not have won. And it's about time we saw them get a good draw, isn't it? It wouldn't have surprised me if they was a draw like Port Vale or something like that. I'm glad they got Real Madrid. And you know what? I actually couldn't call that as to who goes through at the moment. I really can't.
And we'll be in Madrid at the same time. That'll be interesting.
Oh, will we be the same week?
Yes.
Is that confirmed?
Well,
I don't think it works. No, like that, you know.
That might be one of the things that now gets negotiated.
Because people are talking about on Twitter that we've been... we're potentially in the city at the same time.
Surely it wouldn't be too much of an issue if it was. Well, no, you'd like to think.
Big question. They won't do that. There's 100% guaranteed that won't happen. So we'll be 1 week and they'll be the next. Because UEFA won't even let you play at home if there's someone playing in the same league that you play in domestically. So the Champions League, there's no way. I think you'll probably find that what they'll do is they'll spread that over like 3 weeks, 4 weeks maybe even for the first legs.
Yeah, the 4 weeks, it is across 4 weeks.
So there's no chance they're going to have Liverpool and Man City.
No, the first legs are across two.
Yeah.
The full thing's across four.
So there's no way that'll happen. I'm almost certain they've got a thing from the past where they've had a similar situation. And they don't have it.
The first legs will be the 18th or 19th, 25th or 26th of February.
Yeah, so we'll have
10th
one there
or 11th or 17th or 17th.
If you're a Manchester City fan watching that draw, like, just compare and contrast now to being a Liverpool fan. Like, we didn't really want Atletico, but we were sound with it. And look at how well we're doing in the league, how well we're playing. Now, They're what, 14 points behind Liverpool in the league. So they're probably starting to think that they're not going to win the league. Let's be honest. Like, let's be completely honest about that. So they're going to start to look at the Champions League. I bet you they had their heads in their hands when they got drawn.
Sam, I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think it might actually be the thing that club needs.
Yeah, a big win possibly.
Yeah, because
stop getting Shakhtar.
Exactly, and they get Shakhtar and they get all them crap ones in the group stage, don't they, every season? And they seem to steamroll through them. Like, they won, was it 4-1 away the other day? If that had been a knockout group stage, for some reason their heads just go. Whereas if they've got Real Madrid, I think it probably focuses them a little bit more, thinking we've got to give it 110% to get this through here, because if we don't, we could go out. By the same token, we've got the bonus that they could quite conceivably give it 110% and still get tonked. Yep. Because they just haven't got the European pedigree. It just doesn't work.
I think it might be the sort of thing that gets their supporters going about it, because we've all talked on this about how weird they are about it, but it is Manchester City, who've never won a European Cup, against Real Madrid, who won the most European Cups. Mm. And if you're not up for this one, I don't know what you're up for. And I think if you're Guardiola, you might even be thinking, right, if they're not up for this one,
I'm out of here.
What is the purpose of the enterprise?
I think we might be overestimating Real Madrid and underestimating Manchester City a little bit here, to be honest with you. I mean,
Madrid aren't having a good season either.
No, exactly. And Manchester City are a much better side than Real Madrid are at the moment. It could
change by February. It sometimes does.
It could, but it's not an enviable task. It's very similar to the draw we've just got, is what I would say. Is the two English sides the better sides, and you know, the Spanish sides are going to be a difficult task. The one thing I'd say is Liverpool will go and enjoy themselves. The Liverpool fans, Manchester City, this is their opportunity to go to one of the greatest stadiums in world football. I still think it's probably the best I've been to, the Bernabeu. And if they don't enjoy that, then you're absolutely right. What are you in it for? Because it is. No matter what form Real Madrid's in, they're still the pinnacle of world football, the most successful club in the world. If you don't get up for it and you're 14 points in the league, you may as well pack in now.
Life continues to be very nice for Jose Mourinho. He's got Chelsea falling to pieces in front of him, getting last minute winners away from home, and now finds himself, Kevin, a situation where it's Leipzig. If you could have handpicked one, you probably would have handpicked Leipzig if you were Tottenham.
Good luck with that one, mate. I'm not sure. I wouldn't have picked them for them either. I think, again, it's one of them ones where you go, okay, you think perfect draw for them.
Top of the Bundesliga.
Yeah, top of the Bundesliga. But not just that, they play that style of football where Tottenham, they beat Wolves the other day, a team that a decent attacking team but play a lot of football. Leipzig will do whatever it takes to beat Tottenham, I think. So they'll be going there, and there'll be some Tottenham fans thinking we should be favourites for this. Whereas in reality, if you looked at just on form and just where the two teams are, you'd think it should be Leipzig favourites. So again, if I was a Tottenham fan, I'd be thinking we're probably not going to go that far in this cup. I'd rather have had a Real Madrid away,
really?
Or something. Yeah, honestly, because you look at Leipzig. If I was a Tottenham fan, I'd be thinking, I know we've had a couple of results, but they were by no means convincing at the weekend, were they, against Wolves?
No.
A last minute winner. But then again, we've been getting them, and we've been singing the praises of it. But if I was a Tottenham fan, I'd just be thinking, it's just got banana skin written all over it for me.
Is there not part of you thinking, genuinely, we've got a fella who's a really good manager of two legs? Always has been his whole life. We've just made the final of the whole thing. And yeah, we can talk about how we got there, but that was showing real spirit and real resilience as well. I mean, it might be that Leipzig might ironically perhaps feel like it's a little bit too small an occasion for them. But I don't know. And last season, for instance, when this draw happens, Tottenham got Dortmund and everyone went, Dortmund, top of the Bundesliga. You'll have to watch that one. And then they mullered them 3-0 first leg. They just did them in 45 minutes of
different
football.
Different time, though, isn't it?
Well, that's what I mean. The point is that it's a different. We're all in a different place in February. And by that point, Mourinho's been working with that squad for 3 or 4 months.
He'd have fell out with half of them by then, though.
I think experience is worth a lot, especially in Europe, and for the side like Tottenham, who for the first time got to the final last year. And I think Mourinho will know how to do a number on them. It depends what the squad looks like, though, I suppose, by that point.
Of course.
If they've got any injuries, all that sort of stuff. And like you say, could go either way. But I actually think, I see what you mean about the Leipzig thing, but I actually think that with Mourinho there, they're probably favourites.
I think there'll be a fella fluffing his gilet ready in Nagelsmann. He'll really fancy that.
Oh, he will, yeah.
He
fancies
a lot of things.
Including them.
Fluffing his gilet again.
Yeah. Fluffing each other.
But that's it. There's going to be a couple of egos. And, you know, when Nagelsmann came to Anfield with Hoffenheim, was it at the time? Yeah, Hoffenheim. He was you know, he was a prick, basically, wasn't he? And now he's a prick with a bit to back her up. You know, he's top of the Bundesliga. If he wouldn't have been at Leipzig such a short amount of time, you think he would have been one of the favourites for the Spurs job. I'm surprised Arsenal haven't been linked with him harder. Clearly, and I say through gritted teeth because I really can't stand him, clearly a talented coach, and coming up against the other egotistical maniac who's obviously a very good coach in Jose Mourinho, he'll like that no end. The thing is, Neil, I remember laughing when we got a draw and you were saying Salzburg will leg you, or Tottenham are in a game as well because they're from the Red Bull stable. We got to see firsthand what the feeder club for Leipzig are like.
Definitely.
So what are Leipzig going to be like for them? It's going to be a nightmare.
They're going to like them. That's the first thing they'll do.
Absolutely.
They'll have to work really hard to talk them to get through it. Last one is, Chelsea are going to get battered?
I don't even know what you've got.
Bayern Munich.
See you later. Yeah. They are going to get... That might be a record score, because Frank Lampard is finding out now that you can only get so much of a bounce. And people, there's been managers through time immemorial who've come in and have got the goodwill of players and fans alike, and it gives you a lovely bounce, and then you start getting beat at home by Bournemouth, you're getting beat away at Everton. That's not good enough, that, and Bayern Munich will be licking the lips, because for them they can go, oh well, it's Chelsea from England, whereas in reality, you know, listen, we might not even have a coach at the moment, but we are likely to absolutely mull of these.
I've seen bits, we were having a pint together at the weekend where we got to Mosel and it was like 3-1 Bayern Munich, and I think by the time we were halfway through our pint, it was like 6-1 Bayern Munich. Philip Coutinho with a hat trick, who's in absolutely blistering form.
Lewandowski as well. He's in the form of his life. How old is he now?
About 150.
Yeah. just less than Phil Blundell. he does have less birthdays.
Happy
to be
birthday,
fair. I mean,
Kev, put the flare down.
They're another team. I know they've got their academy manager or something, the job until the end of the season, but things seem to be going all right for Bayern at the moment. They're only fifth in the Bundesliga, but they seem like they're on the way back into form. It's not an enviable tie for Chelsea, who are obviously in the opposite form, but we have got 2 months to wait. Things can change between now and the time of this game. It was only a couple of weeks ago on these shows we were talking about Chelsea being outside Premier League title candidates. Things change really quickly in football. Who knows whether Frank Lampard will still be Chelsea manager then, or they could be right back in the mix.
Alright then, we're going to pull us back to Wofford, Lizzie, and just a couple of little things I wanted to point out, which we didn't do much of at all on the post-match show, not least because I partially forgot. It'd been a heavy few days, but also because I often forget it exists as a position on the football pitch. The goalkeeper was absolutely impeccable against Wofford. He's not been called into service very much across the last few weeks or months. Either things have been bang in the corner, or he's been injured, or Liverpool have just been on top in games, but it was a tremendous performance from him.
Yeah, he was great. He was on top form, and I feel like when I watched him at the weekend, it felt like Alisson was back, and I don't mean that in any disrespect to him as such, but it looks like now he's getting his game back, and he's got the minutes behind him now, which, you know, he was out for a while, weren't he? It was a good few weeks, and it's hard for any player to get a rhythm back, and he certainly got his back. And I think the likes of that Mad, I think there was one tiny little thing where I wasn't sure where if he might have... I thought he maybe should have called at Van Dijk for that possible mistake, but I don't know. I am not a goalkeeper, so I couldn't really see from where I was sat whether that was Van Dijk saying I'm going to deal with it, or whether he was waiting for Alisson, but that was the only one. But it just looked like he was saving anything. And for me, it's really important for this Liverpool side now to keep these clean sheets. Like, that's 3 clean sheets in a row now, and all the talk's been about, oh, the goals, but they're still leaking goals, you can still get at them, when I think it's a load of rubbish. And I think now you'll see that clean sheet continue.
There's something for me, Kev, around the fact that I wondered about the missed kicks. Like, Decore takes a touch. Probably has another touch, I think, in there as well. It's all a bit messy. But I think part of what he's thinking is, and to be fair, Liverpool's placement of where the players are in general, that looks like he's right in front of the sticks. He should just put this in the back of the net. But when you actually watch it back, yeah, it's a terrible miscue, don't get me wrong. But, you know, there's almost a man blocking either post. But there's also this fella in the middle of the goal who's enormous, absolutely enormous. But also, before you go on the pitch, in the back of your mind, there's something saying he could be the best goalkeeper in the world.
Yeah, well, the saves he makes are dispiriting to strikers. So you've seen the one where De La Feu goes clean through and Senk gives him a little nudge in the back, Delafay, you should have had a little bit more composure there and tried to sit Alisson down, tried to do something else. Instead, all he done was panicked and just whacked it at him. And that's what players do against him, because I've seen a stat the other day, he's got the highest saves to shots percentage in the Premier League. Jordan Pickford's last just for a little day, long for the Evertonians there. But Alisson makes those saves and it dispirits the strikers. As you said, Daniel, that one where the lad slices it in the middle of the goal, he's got the goalie coming at him. And really, all he's got to do is just get it on target. And against most goalies, that's all you think, just get it on target. But he's playing against a goalkeeper like Alisson, he's in your head and he's thinking, I've got to get this exactly right. And the more you have to think about it, we've seen it with Mo Salah of late.
With the overthinking.
When he's overthinking, he's making mistakes, he's taking an extra touch and it doesn't go in. When he's just playing off his own form, if you will, he scores goals like the one he scored last week against Salzburg. Alisson makes players think all the time, even when they've got basically an open goal, which shows how good
he is. We used to have this with Manchester United when De Gea was in his pomp, which he very much isn't at the moment. And you'd go into the game worrying about De Gea, and when you're facing play, firstly you've got to get past Virgil van Dijk. That must be in the striker's mind. But when you do, you're then presented with it's like Sonic or something, when you've got the boss at the end, innit? Yeah. Do you know what I mean? That was hard. Oh fuck, this is harder. That's what Liverpool are presenting at the moment is just a real headache for strikers, and when you're in their head before the ball's kicked. So I know Walsh, you were sharing that old quote about Troy Deeney talking about Van Dijk being a nightmare and his aftershave and all that. But you're definitely coming into that game thinking about it, aren't you? You're coming in going, yeah, forget Bastard. Like, firstly, he's not going to be Van Dijk for pace or nothing like that. So if that opportunity breaks to you, where you haven't got time to think anyway, I've still got to get past this big handsome fella. It must be an absolute nightmare.
There's a virtuous circle in it, I think, Paul, in that I feel, and I was watching him at the weekend a little bit anyway, before he was actually pulling off a couple of the saves, and he feels very involved in the game. And the more involved he is in the game, the more involved he is as a traditional goalkeeper, if you know what I mean. It's like he's a presence within the whole football match. I think, was it this game or was it the previous game where someone tried to chip him? And I was intrigued by the fact that it felt like the first time someone had done that, but his positioning was still then spot on. Like, he's very, very quick off his line. He knows where everything is. He knows where he needs to be. He makes the right decision every single time. But part of that is because I think he genuinely feels like he's always playing. He's never just being a goalkeeper.
That level of concentration is exactly why Jordan Pickford is as bad as he is as a goalkeeper. I don't know if anyone watched the United game yesterday with Everton. Every time he saved a shot or he was taking a goal kick and the step for them were giving him stick, and he's turning around and smiling towards them. That's not what a goalkeeper should be doing. No. That shows you that he's thinking, what are people thinking about me? Alisson goes on that pitch and he doesn't care what we think about him. He doesn't care what the opposition players think about him. He just cares that he's in the perfect position and that his backline is in the perfect position. And if they're not, he'll tell them where to be. The concentration levels are what take a good goalkeeper, your Ben Fosters, your David James, your Jordan Pickfords, and make them into great goalkeepers like your Alissons, like your De Gea's, like possibly Kepa's going to be if he gets out the Premier League. But there's that little tiny thing you're talking about there, which you think, well, just do that then, just concentrate more, is the difference between being Peter Schmeichel and being Ben Foster. And that's, you can't teach it. It's either in you or it isn't.
I mean, it seems harsh on Ben Foster, who's did the best save we've ever seen there. I totally agree. We're talking levels, and I think Kev's absolutely right. Or if you watch a professional goalkeeper, their level is quite often ridiculous in terms of their agility, their handling, everything about them. But mentality, you get this in a lot of like racket sports or things like snooker or whatever. So much is in your head. You can get away with it a little bit in football because there's open
game so fast, it's going around, so there's another opportunity to come. But as a goalkeeper,
no, when you've got to be perfect, because as you say, you talked about Alisson, he hasn't really been involved in a football match all week, but then the minute he's called upon, he's concentrating enough, nothing, what noises from the Anfield Road end aren't bothering him when he makes that save. And I think that's what your point is, Kev, is that he was alert enough after doing nothing really for a while to make an unbelievable save. The same in the Napoli game last season, it's a similar sort of thing where he's just too big, you know. I think the modern build of a goalkeeper is more like Kepa or whatever. He's more like the old fashioned build where he doesn't look like he could be as agile as he is, because he's big, he's, you know, he's limsy, isn't he, you know. But he's fantastic. And we got away with it a little bit, I would say, with his injury, because it was at the beginning of the season when we were playing fantastic.
I think he came back just at the right time.
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. And the difference in terms of just the centre half feeling like they can push for further forward 10 yards and not have to worry about what's behind them is all good. I think the Southampton game where Adrian had a little bit of a knock but still played on, you actually visibly seen how much a goalkeeper is involved in a football match, because when he couldn't kick it properly, you started to see the centre-halves making mistakes, trying to avoid not being able to go back to them. He's a really, really key cog in Liverpool, and just because you don't have to see that much of him, don't forget that he's not there.
Another key cog, just briefly, Lizzie, is Firmino, and at the minute he's finding it a little difficult, I think. I think you see him dropping deeper and deeper, and then when he gets his big chance towards the end of the game, when it still is only 1-0, there's a man who manages to find too long to think about one, it's him with that one. Mm. It's not the idea that his all-round play isn't quite there, although maybe it isn't, but the work rate's still there, the effort's still there, the positioning's still there. It's a lot of the other stuff that you associate with him that isn't.
Yeah, I think he looked tired, you know. Like, I just thought he was a little bit slower than usual. I don't know. I think he needs a bit of a break. There was times, when I first started watching him, I was thinking, he's not in this. And then there was times when it felt like he was driving the ball forward and he was still making a lot of moves. And I felt like, oh, he's probably going to grow into the game. But it was a mixed game. I mean, everyone sort of slagged him off, but I think it was mixed. I think he had flashes rather than it being all bad. That was just my view of it. And he had the assist as well, didn't he? Yeah. Which was excellent. But I don't know whether the formation maybe sort of didn't help him for this one, the 4-2-3-1, where he maybe had to run a little bit more. Because like I say, for me, I don't know about yous, I might be wrong, but when I was watching him, he looked like a fella who needed a bit of a rest to me. And I think he will come back, and this Qatar break might be what he needs. We've just watched Mo Salah go through a dip of form, and when Jurgen Klopp announces the team sheet for Everton, and we all were bemused, weren't we? Let's all be honest, we were gobsmacked at the first 11, and it turns out Jurgen Klopp giving Mo Salah a rest for possibly his two favourite Premier League games was the best thing to do. So I think Jurgen Klopp will be looking at Firmino now, knowing that he's not 100%, and like I say, it wouldn't surprise me if he gets rested soon.
Well, he was obviously the other one in that game. I'm a bit more long-term worried about him, actually. I don't think this is a new thing. I think he's been not at his best for a while now. I still think he's been involved in games, but I even think, as good as we were last season, I don't think it was Bobby's best. I think the season before
was
Bobby's best. So I'm not. I wonder whether forgotten his name already. The lad from Salzburg,
Minamino
is good for Mino in terms of a little. I'm not saying he needs to kick up the arse. I'm just saying he probably needs to remember he can't take this place for granted a little bit. And I think the importance we put on his position can sometimes, I don't think it's in his head, but I think we've got to remember.
Because you miss him when he's not there, don't you? Even if he's not in form, and he doesn't
but
play.
I don't think he's irreplaceable, because this won't be a popular opinion, I'm sure, but I think we all act like he's irreplaceable, but I'm not quite sure he is. I think there was a period in time for Liverpool where it was very much led from the front, where he was key to the press, and we do. I would absolutely have agreed then. I'm not sure now. I think Bobby Firmino needs to start scoring some more goals.
Just on this, Paul, I think we might have been having conversations not too dissimilar, maybe not quite on shows as such around this time last season, and then we get to Christmas. He has that great game against Arsenal, and then he has a little bit of a purple patch, I think, for a period. It's a difficult one, isn't it? This is one of those where the manager's got to look at the data, got to look at the sports science, got to talk to the player. This is where we see the art of management, I think, where he's got to look at all the factors, every little bit that he can find out, and make a little bit of a decision as to what's best for the player here. Is the idea that he keeps, like, for instance, is the idea that let's go to Leicester. He plays against Leicester, and Liverpool win 2-0, and Firmino gets them both. Mm. Is that what needs to happen to get him into the next phase?
I'm not sure. I just think that's the standard he has to be at this club. And this isn't me saying it's time to move on from Bobby Firmino. But absolutely not. I'm just saying that I don't think we're in a position where we can keep saying, oh, but he's so important to us, because every cog in this team is so important. We're not where we were. It's now at a time where we've got to say to Roberto Firmino, if you're going to lead the line for Liverpool, you've got to come back with a better goal return than he has done for the last 15, 16 months. I think it can come back for Bobby to the point where he can be where he was in 17, 18 and come in with a 20 goal return. I just think that's got to be sort of like the standard now, where you can't just get away from running a little bit. Divock Origi will run all day.
I just don't think it's all about the goals. Do you not think at the weekend it was more to do with his passing was off? For me, like it just felt like he wasn't moving the ball well enough. It was like everything he was trying just wasn't coming off, and he was frustrated.
It's certainly form. I'm just getting into a sort of wider point than his current form. I think he's got to start scoring more goals. I think that I'm just being blunt about it.
I think for his own mind space, yeah, I think that's right. But I also think it's very much probably the fact that he's played for two or three seasons non-stop. Like, he played Copa America this summer, and we talk about sports scientists all the time, but then when a player is out of form, you're like, well, you need to book your ideas up. Might be that he's totally knackered, you know what I mean? They might have the data that says he's running at 85-90%.
Well, but then it's on the management, Kev.
No, well, 100%, but
stop playing him. Origi played fantastically in the derby, keep playing him.
That's fine to say, right, but we're talking about making a decision to take a player out of a team that's won 16 out of 17 league games, was qualified top of its Champions League group. So it's not like we're carrying him. We are carrying him to an extent from what he was. And let's have it right. Origi is a fantastic substitute, but nobody, I don't think anybody in this room wants to see him start five games in a row in the Premier League.
I just feel a little bit for Origi. And listen, Liverpool are a stronger side with Bobby Firmino, and I don't doubt it. I'm just saying, like, is there any long-term planning around him maybe not getting back to that level? I don't know.
Is that Minamino?
I want Bobby Firmino to come back and be the Bobby Firmino we know and love, and this isn't me throwing him under a bus. I'm just saying it can't go on forever. I don't know, what did he get in all comps last season? 12, 13 goals, something like that.
A bit more than that, I think, but it wasn't that many more than that.
I just feel like when you talk about Firmino, it's never been about goals for me. I never coddle Firmino and goals, and I know that's mad because he's our number nine, but to me, I think of goals and I think of Mane and I think of Salah. Firmino is the one that makes that happen, and I'm fine with that if he doesn't come back with goals, if it means he's facilitating them. That's
he's 29th in the country for combined goals and assists per game in the league this season.
Well, so the figures,
we all know assists are flawed.
The figure's there, but then so that won't include the overhead assist he got from his own half the other day, which put Mane in to put the.
Yeah, of course.
Listen, they are flawed, and we can see that he's not playing, and nobody's saying that he's in great form. He isn't. He's clearly had a little drop off. But I feel like we're being.
I suppose
very,
what I'm
very
saying, I'm not.
Get off his back, see?
I'm not on his back. I'm just saying, like, it's not. Just, I think he's dropped from a point where he dropped anyway. That's probably where. It'd
probably be a spell though, won't it?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think it's longer than a spell. I think, like, where he was and where he is now has dropped. So this could be that.
Fourth of the country for touches in the box.
It could be that he's dropped off because people have understood him a bit more. Because I did, for a period, I don't think I understood him really. I thought, fucking hell, he's fantastic. He leads the line. He does everything he does. His touch is unbelievable. But how do you stop that? Because you can't be a centre half and go with him, because he could be sitting on top of your midfield or whatnot, and he does allow space for stuff like that. There's just a big red flag in the back of my head as I'm saying I need to see him come back or show a bit more towards where he was the season before last rather than where he has been for the last 18 months.
Okay, just want to sort of move on. He's obviously not going to feature against Villa. It's going to be a strange game, Kev. I think it is one that's going to be
strange
quite...
for Kev, he's in goal.
It's going to be one that's quite the best way to phrase it is that it's quite the opportunity for a lot of Liverpool supporters to go to Birmingham and get behind Liverpool as a concept and as a reality. I think it's going to be as much about that as anything else, because I just don't know what side Villa are going to play, and I think it's really quite difficult. I've got a little bit of sympathy for Dean Smith and Villa in this, in that they go into this game as massive favourites. It's a massive opportunity for them. But the reality is, as well, they're 17th in the league. It's do they even want to be in the semi-final this? Because what if they go and get City and they've got to worry about those two games when they're fighting a relegation battle? But the flip side is, you're Aston Villa, you've got to take it seriously.
Of course. For Aston Villa, if I was an Aston Villa fan and he went out and put a really weakened side out, I'd be furious with him. Because what are they in it for? I know they're back in the Premier League. They seem to be doing okay. I know they got beat at the weekend by Sheffield United. But if that penalty goes in, you wouldn't have backed against them getting a draw there. There's some terrible teams in the league. So if I was them, I'd be thinking, I'm willing to gamble for an extra two games, because it's not like they play week in, week out, Wednesday, Saturday.
Yeah.
So would I be willing to gamble an extra two games? Okay, it might be against Man City, but it might be against Everton. Do you know what I mean? To get to a League Cup final. Villa have got a rich history in the League Cup, and their fans, they're a proper big club set of fans. Do you know what I mean? They understand what winning trophies is like, and they understand what it means to the club. For me personally, if I was a Villa fan, I'd be looking at these with and saying, just go out and absolutely spank Liverpool's kids. Yeah, they might be Liverpool's kids, but then you still get to say we beat Liverpool in a League Cup quarter final. If they go out and if they reduce their first team as well, because I don't even know what their squad's like.
So last time out, they made a few changes. They made changes at the back, but Konsa, who's got back in recently, got in ahead of Engels, but now I think there's a problem with Mings, so he was a bit of a doubt for the weekend. He didn't feature at the weekend. They played El Mohamedy right back. He's the second choice right back. Taylor left back. I think he's the set. Yeah, Target's the first choice left back. They had Lansbury on the pitch, but they brought McGinn on for him. But elsewhere, they had Douglas Luiz, who they've been playing, Houlihan, who they've been playing, El Ghazi, who they've been playing, Trezeguet, and they had quite a strong bench. So I think you probably, you know, if you go with something that, and that was against Wolves. So if you go with something at home, so probably to expect them to go with something similar than that, but maybe whack one more big hitter in somewhere.
Well,
maybe you pick a Grealish, because it sends the message to everybody. It sends a message to the stands, we're taking this deadly seriously.
Well, that's what they need to do, because if they don't pick someone like a Grealish, I'm not sure how their season's panning out with what players are the type that you'd call a leader or whatever. But
he's the captain.
Well, I know he is, but what I'm saying is if you take him out, I'm not sure he'd be the leader. I know they've got like the Wesley up front and players like that who's having a bad time, but if you were the likes of that Wesley, you'd be thinking to yourself, whoa, get me on that Sepp Vandenberg, mate, and I will absolutely terror him. But by the same token, you can see Vandenberg going, all right, well, I had a bit of a ropey game in that Arsenal game. Put me up against him and I'll show you what I can do, because he's just a big lump. There's loads of interest. Honestly, there's loads of interesting things you can see.
If you're Villa, you've got three home games here back-to-back. 21st, Southampton. 26th, Norwich.
Massive.
But also real opportunities for 6 points. So it is, you know, do you want the... Because there's a flip side to this, isn't the Paul, the kick in the teeth of going out to Liverpool, or of it becoming a really tricky game, and the general sort of feel good factor. It's Tuesday, Saturday, Saturday, Thursday, and then Watford away, you just sort of see where you are.
I think they'll be scratching their head at body more, Heath, if I'm honest with you. Like, I don't see how Villa can put any importance on this either. A cup run's not what they need now. Villa had a nice little start and everyone thought, oh, Villa would be sound. They're right back in it now. I think if I'm Jurgen Klopp, or it was a Critchley, or whoever's taking the Liverpool Critchley team, I'd be going, we'll just shake hands on it. Doesn't matter who wins this. I would absolutely be having my lads ready for Southampton, for Norwich, for Watford. They're the games that really matter to Aston Villa. Aston Villa can't go down.
Burnley after that.
Aston Villa can't go down. The effort it takes to get out the Championship. If Villa go back down again, the back in it. It's the worst league in the world to get out of. The League Cup does not matter to Aston Villa this season. Staying in the Premier League is the only thing that should matter. And if he plays his first team, I think he wants his head feeling. If I'm honest with you, if they were 11th or 12th and they were 7 points ahead, I'd be all for it. You know, you're talking about Everton are down there as well. You know. We're talking about Watford coming back earlier in the show. Aston Villa have to tread very carefully. I would just say, right, we'll both agree we're going to play our academy players in this game, and let Sky realise they picked the wrong game to show.
Okay, Liverpool have got Monterrey as well on Wednesday. We saw the squad that went over. There'll be a few changes, I think, from the first 11 for that, but we'll be talking about that in a number of different places. Now's one hell of a time to subscribe, if you haven't already, the AnfieldRap.com. You can find everything on there that you need to subscribe to, all of our stuff that's behind the paywall. Hopefully you downloaded the app at the weekend. If you didn't, you can still do so, but hopefully you did so at the weekend to see the Watford stuff that we did across the board and have a listen to that as well. It's also a good time to buy merch, what with it being Christmas on the horizon, so if there are any of the t-shirts that you like, go and get them, and there's gift card subscriptions as well. It's been a bit of a funny show. Thank you very much to Gareth and to Craig, to Paul and to Kev and to Lizzie and to UEFA for once being mercifully brief with the Champions League draw. There's a fighting chance, Lizzie, we might be approaching schedule one way or another here, and if you'd have offered me that at 10:30, I'd have bitten your hand off. Thank you very much to everyone and to The Athletic partnering with us this year. If you want to sign up, it is theathletic.co.uk/TheAnfieldRap. See you later. Sports Social Podcast Network.